Going therefore, teach ye all nations, and behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Monsignor Winhoven was a preacher of some note in Louisiana, the last century, between the two world wars, and he published several books of his sermons. In one of these, he recounts that he was asked to deliver the graduation address for some prominent college in the South. He happened to run into a parishioner of his who was going to be graduating at that very ceremony, and he asked him if he had any suggestions about what he should speak. The young man said, I didn't have any idea particularly, but he did have one request, Monsignor. Please don't throw a wet blanket over us, sending us off all discouraged about what the future holds. The good Monsignor, I'm afraid, didn't take this too well and proceeded to publish a sermon about what was wrong with that young man and about his generation in general. I must confess, though, that at the risk of seeming disloyal to my own fellow clergy, I tend to side with him. I have known so many priests who seem determined to send their people away discouraged from the Sunday sermon, and then they wonder, well, why should I even try? I wonder why it is that sometimes preachers at especially important events do this, because these are joyful affairs. I mean, a wedding or a confirmation or a first communion, as well as a graduation. And then they come across, their words do, as so negative. But not only clergy, to be fair, in a formal sermon, Catholics in everyday conversation sometimes do, well, they throw a wet blanket over things. They don't mean to, of course, but they talk as if the Holy Ghost had deserted the church and souls. Hope is gone, despair, the order of the day. God has taken down his sign, turned off the light, rolled up the sidewalk, in just sheer disgust with men, and walked away. And yet, our youth, some of them at least, how often they yearn, as only the young can, to know the truth, to understand history and Catholic principles, and then to reach for the high ideals which our faith inspires in us, and uncompromising, sometimes even seemingly revolutionary, because Catholic. And we're the ones who've grown with the years cautious and fearful, wet blankets at the ready for any occasion. Convenience and convention suffocate our Catholic principles with time as we go along to get along, but not too far, because then it would take us too long to get to church. And our youth, should God forbid, they wander off to some foreign port, or worse, make a shipwreck of their faith and are drowning in their own sins. What good would a wet blanket do a drowning man except to weigh him down? Speaking of blankets, have you ever had one of those procedures done in an outpatient clinic? They always seem to keep the air conditioning cranked very low. and it's freezing cold in there. Of course, this is an experience that comes not for youth, but with age. Well, at the same time, many of them give out a warm blanket. And I have to say, it's a comfort and a little bit of an encouragement, perhaps a tiny bit like the fire of God's love, the warmth of the presence of the Blessed Trinity in this cold and clinical world of ours. The Holy Ghost, the substantial love of the Father and the Son, is there, sanctifying us, teaching us, consoling us, and yes, encouraging us. He has never left us, never, never, nor the church. And don't we still today then have every reason for a sane optimism for our youth and to impart to our graduates and to our first communicants and to the engaged couple who will marry here this Saturday something of that hopeful, confident glow, the good God, three in one, and one in three, the Blessed Trinity, produces in our souls by grace and by gifts and fruits. The bruised reed he shall not break, Isaiah says about the Savior's coming. And St. Benedict quotes this in his Holy Rule. And with it, he built a Christian civilization out of the darkest of the dark ages. The prophet goes on to say, and the smoking flax he shall not quench. A spark, one thin little reed left standing in the swamp, is enough material for God to work with. Will we despise it? Blow it out? Trample it underfoot in our disgust or despair? I was talking with a grandfather last Sunday after Mass. He's one of the last of our original parishioners going back to the 70s, St. Gertrude the Great. And we were standing outside, surrounded by children pouring out of the church. Our future, he smiled at me quietly. Our future indeed. This weekend's graduations, yesterday we had three homeschoolers and today one St. Gertrude the Great graduate. This weekend's graduations preach the same gospel. You may call it a sane optimism. The Holy Ghost would perhaps say fortitude. Our dear children who have grown up with us, these four in particular, I think, formed from their very youth at home, church, and school, in the service of God, shown in devotion to the altar and choir, to so many aspects of Catholic culture and activities, and charity, too. Always giving as good as they got at St. Gertrude the Great, for whom graduation is not a step away, much less a slammed door behind them, but a wider circle opening up so that they may take their faith with them somewhere, whether it be to the uttermost parts of the earth, as did the apostles, or no more than 50 miles away, like St. Bede. We rejoice today in the work done and the teaching given in our homes and in our school, and most of all, at our church. And the sermons, the work of the internet, and our Te Deum this Sunday especially sings our gratitude that our school, for the first time in its 20th history, is larger than ever, and that yesterday's students, now grown up themselves, are sending their own children back again to school. And our internet apostolate casts a wide net, wider each year, to draw in all sorts of souls, but especially the young and often potential vocations. We heard just yesterday from a young man in South America, in Colombia, who was raised by his parents in the Latin Mass wing of the Novus Ordo or the One World Church. But on our website, he's been able to read his way back into Catholicism and now is hoping to be able to give his life back to God. Oh, there's always hope, even when the news is darkest, coming out of Rome or Washington or Ireland. Think of it, Ireland. But there's always a spark or two. Curse the darkness, if you must, it's our way. But would it be trite to say, first, light a candle, kindle a flame, at least to warm the blankets against the encroaching night? Oh, and what did this Monsignor of ours have against his own upcoming generation in the 1930s in America? Interesting. He found them to be lacking in confidence for the future. And in hindsight, we would say that those young people had the gift of prophecy, about which we spoke yesterday, because World War II would come and change, and not for the better, the whole of the face of the earth. But why this insecurity, he wondered? It comes, he says, for want of peace of heart. After all, a man with God on his side is in a majority, even though he stands alone. And the majority, we know, always wins. Who wins? Who succeeds? The Monsignor said, cheerful and hopeful people who go about their business with a smile, and thus do they take the changes and the chances of this mortal life, facing rough and smooth alike as they come. Only God, the Holy Ghost, produces this peace of heart. It is one of his fruits. But after all, doesn't it start with the truth? Am I not with you all days, even to the consummation of the world? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.